Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So, big day is here. Bears are 3-0. Nick Foles is now the guy we've got to all be rallying behind, and the Bears are going to try and see if they can get to 4-0 on the lakefront on Sunday. Hoodie, how you doing, man? A lot to discuss. We got baseball today, White Sox and A's. Sox are actually a favorite on the road at a really good Oakland team in a 7-2 matchup. How you feeling about your Sox? And we got to talk about the obvious, the benching of Mitchell Trubisky.
My friend, it's good to have you back, and there's so much to talk about. What a blessing. A 3-0 start for the Bears. Two playoff teams, Cubs and White Sox. Pretty strong new coach with the Chicago Bulls, so plenty of storylines there. But at the top, you know, obviously at 2 o'clock, when you see the change of Trubisky to Foles, it's kind of like, whoa. You sit up a little bit more straight in your chair because you see that change happen. And it's kind of like watching the ebb and flow of that game. You saw some good things offensively from the Bears. It's kind of like the other shows that we've done. The Lions game, the Giants game, you saw a semblance of a running game. You saw the offense move a little bit, but it just did not equate to points. You know, that is really the embodiment of, you know, never confuse activity with accomplishment. That's exactly what the Bears were doing. You love what they were doing offensively because they had the defense on their heels, but it didn't equal the points. And this is why Nagy made the change. He brought Foles in to create a spark, and a spark he did.
Yeah, he made a big difference. And look, it's no secret that I've been very supportive of Mitchell Trubisky since he became the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Bottom line is, Mitch won the job in camp, according to Matt Nagy. Mitch foobarred that opportunity, and now we are with Nick Foles. So, as I've always said, hey, man, if Mitch can't do the job, then we all rally behind Nick Foles. But Mitch has no one to blame but himself. He gave Matt a reason to make a change, and Matt said, that's it. This is a winnable football game. This is a good team. I don't care what the national narrative is that we stink. This is a good team. I can't whiz away an opportunity to win a game on the road, and they found a way. Man, Nick Foles should have had 5 touchdowns. Allen Robinson, come on, man. You're better than that. You can't have 2 weeks in a row a pass in your hands and you let it get ripped away from you. And Anthony Miller, you better be better than that. He dropped the TD last week. He dropped the TD this week and it was reviewed and overturned and that was the correct call. But he made the big catch at the end. Hoodie, this is a team that's better than people give them credit for. And I really think they could take the next step. Mitch has no one to blame but himself.
Okay, let's dig in on the Mitch Trubisky thing. As you're sitting at NBC Sports Chicago and you are watching the game live, It's 2 o'clock and the change happens. In the back of your mind, aren't you saying, well, wait, why now? Because here's the reason. Say, for instance, Trubisky stays in that game. I'm not sure the Bears win the game. I always thought Atlanta's offense was better than the Bears coming into this one. Mm-hmm. But if you remember my key on Friday, I gave you 4 keys. One of the keys I gave you on Friday was, it's Atlanta. Don't stop. Just because you're behind doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to lose the game. You saw what happened the week before with Dallas. So just because you're behind doesn't mean the game is over. That defense is going to relinquish a lot more if you just keep trying. So in the back of your mind, weren't you thinking like, oh, you pull Trubisky now?
Well, it's funny because I'm sitting there with 3 guys who all had amazing careers. Alex Brown starting DN on a Super Bowl team. Lance Briggs, 7-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, and Olin Krutz, who I think belongs in the Hall of Fame, And was a multi-time All-Pro at center. And I said, you think there's any way Matt's going to make the change? This is after the interception. because that was a really bad interception. And all of them said, he didn't change at Detroit. Why is he going to change now? And then all of a sudden, they're like, Nick Foles has his helmet on, and it looks like he's going into the game. And they were all excited that he was making the change, as was I, even though I'm a Mitch guy. Hey, man, you cannot throw that interception in the flat. He's lucky it didn't get taken to the house. And again, Mitch had his opportunities. He did not deliver. Period.
Wait a minute, Cap. Wait a minute. You can't be the guy that carries the Mitch flag all this time and then say because of that interception, there was the right time to pull the plug. Look, I thought that Mitch was going to have a longer leash, mm-hmm. and so did you. But you can't tell me today, like, yep, we're at 2 o'clock on Sunday. What do you make that change because of the interception? That's the right thing to do. Well, ultimately, yes, it was the right thing to do. My thought was is that if the Bears are going to lose this game against this bad Falcons defense, all right, fine. I thought that the Colts game, if the Bears had another bad outing, a bad showing in the first half, then that would be the time. That leash was a lot shorter than I thought. I think that we all thought. Nobody expected for Foles to come in there that quickly. I mean, it's one thing to see the underachievement with the Bears being down 16-10 at the half. But you thought, okay, well, if they fall short, maybe he gets another shot against the Colts. That leash was a lot shorter than we thought. At least from my standpoint, it was.
Yeah, sitting there with those guys, they looked at that game as eminently winnable. There's a bunch of guys sidelined for Atlanta. And, hey, man, this is a winnable football game. And if Mitch can't deliver it, we can't whiz away in the early part of the season a very winnable road game.
And it's been one loss, though. It's been one loss. Now you're 2-1 going into the Colts game.
Correct, but the Colts the Jets stink. Sam Darnold's awful. The bottom line is, Matt looked at that situation and said, no, I'm not feeling it. Boom. I am all in. Let's make the change. Let's see how the offense looks. And when you see Nick Foles on the sideline, we saw some video of him telling guys different things, and then you hear him say, I told Anthony Miller, hey, just get to the L in the end zone in Falcons. Get to the L. I will put the ball there. And Anthony Miller got to the L and made the catch. Man, we heard him in the post game, and I got to be honest. And again, I like Mitch. We never heard Mitch sound like that technically at the post game. Did we?
Okay. No, we didn't. But you cannot do an about face on your guy that quickly, though. But you fell out of love quickly because the Bears beat the Falcons. All I will say is this, is that we will never know what Trubisky would have done if he had us. Would he would have put up 20 points in the fourth quarter and win the game? Who knows? That Falcons defense was the same Falcons defense that Trubisky faced. Foles and Trubisky face the same defense.
No doubt.
Maybe they come back, maybe they don't. All I'm saying is that it surprised me at the time. It's a good move, but you know, I put on the trench coat, and the wrinkled trench coat of Columbo. I put it on, right? And I followed the breadcrumbs. The hair is all over my hair, and you know, I'm looking around. I'm saying, you know what? I think I'm figuring this out. The breadcrumbs to the answer is this, Cap. All the sound that you played leading into the Falcons game, the sound of, hey, what'd you think of the offense against the Giants? Oh, we're okay. I guess we're okay. We just got a long way to go. You'd never heard Nagy speak in those terms. Usually it's really flowery and positive. We believe in Mitch, blah, blah, blah. It was okay. You could just tell from those press conference clips that we played leading into the Falcons series that the leash was going to be short because he was not enamored the first couple of games of the offense, and he shouldn't be, quite frankly.
He shouldn't be, and again, we're not there as he breaks down the tape with Bill Lazor and John DeFilippo and Juan Castillo. Like, Matt's there 24/7. This is his life, and he looks at it. And at some point, being a former quarterback, Matt is, he looked at it and went, okay, we only get 16 of these exams. And this is one that we should pass. And we're going to lose to the Falcons. I'm just not feeling it with Mitch. I got to make this change. And God bless him, he did. So for people that thought Ryan makes the decision on who plays, I'm telling you that's not true. Matt has full authority to do what he wants to do with that football team. Ryan is involved in the roster construction. But after that point, that is Matt's call. And if Matt believes, you know what, I can run my full playbook, like Waddle said yesterday on the show, hey, look, Matt will now run a different kind of offense because he feels like I got a guy who I can run the full complement with. Now, is that going to mean more in the shotgun than we saw under Mitchell Trubisky? Maybe, maybe not. I hope they still stay wedded to running the ball and then use him to augment that. We'll find out. But look, Mitch had every opportunity. He's a great, great kid. People that were idiots on social media burning his jersey, those are just losers.
Wow.
This kid is a workaholic. He's the first guy in the building, the last guy to leave. He's an awesome teammate. He didn't earn the right to stay there in Matt's mind. And that's it. We get behind Nick Foles. In the end, all I care about, all you care about, all Bears fans care about is, did we win or did we lose? Because we've had some bad seasons, and if he feels Nick Foles is the answer, God bless him. Just go win football games.
Ultimately, that's what it is. It's not the the Chicago Mitch Trubisky's. It's the Chicago Bears.
Correct.
And we had some calls yesterday with Hanley and I, and there are some people that have backed Mitch, and they were saying, hey, you know, I'm a big Mitch fan. I believe in his ability, but I can understand at that time why Matt Nagy would change and go with Nick Foles. And I completely understand it, too, because, see, when Foles comes in as the ultimate relief pitcher, probably the best in the game, quite frankly, when it comes to backup quarterbacks, Cap, you know, he was unflappable under pressure. You know, he's been there before. He's a Super Bowl champion, and he did not seem rattled at all. He comes in there, and we have seen, by the way, over the years, a backup comes in cold, has no expectations of getting the game, and all of a sudden, it takes a while. Foles was able to just go through his progressions, knew what he was doing, utilizing the run and also using the deep ball, and it worked out perfectly, but only because Foles has been in this position before. But I'm watching Mitch in the sideline, and I think it was a shock to him because he had his head, he still had his helmet on for a while.
He did.
I thought maybe he thought he was coming back in the game or whatever, but it was something. It was quite the spectacle because, again, as I'm sitting in the hood cave, just slouched in my, you know, on my couch, like, oh my God, we're going to lose to this team. And all of a sudden, Foles comes in. Now I sit up a little straighter, like, hey, look what's happening here. Now what's going to happen? And so, just as we suspected, you don't quit against the Falcons. The Bears did not quit, and they win the ball game 3-0. Pretty strong.
Yep. There's 6-7 teams left in the NFL undefeated. The Bears are one of them. So here's the question Hoodie and I want to know. The Bears are 3-0. Are they the worst 3-0 team, even with Nick Foles under center? 312-332-3776. Albert Breer talks football at 8. Anthony Rizzo at 8:35 and 9:35. Todd Hollinsworth, who broadcasts for the Marlins. 312-332-3776. Your calls next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So it's National Coffee Day today.
Hope
you're pouring a nice glass of coffee. Cup of coffee. I had my coffee. Now I'm on to tea. Hoodie, I'm actually doing the show on Danny's advice, seated. I have not done a radio show in 10 years, seated, ever. Danny says to me, all right, kid, you need some advice here. I said, go ahead, Danny. I take your nutrition advice. I listen to your podcast. What do you got for me? And he said, you're going to be on your feet a lot today walking 29 miles. You need to sit for the 3 hours of the show. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be comfortable. He's like, listen to me. Your back is going to be really sore when you get done. Take the 3 hours and not be on your feet. So I'm actually, like, it's weird for me to be in this position, and I'm actually sitting. Danny, see you, man. I'm a good listener. I'm coachable, right?
I am proud of you. You are coachable when it comes to health and nutrition, Cappy. Other things, that's a different story. But health and nutrition, you're very coachable.
I mean, it's sound advice. You know, I know it feels like you're in a car seat, but you got to sit there, man. Because, and by the way, you deserve those 3 hours off your feet because of something special that you're doing that we've been talking about for a while. So you deserve to have that seat at the table.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope people will make a donation. Go to walkasonechicago.com. All the proceeds go to Bernie's Book Bank, which is an amazing organization that provides underserved boys and girls in the Chicago area with books and quality learning materials. And in the pandemic, it's more important than ever. Or you can go to obviousshirts.com, buy one of our collectible shirts, and the shirt, all the proceeds. Joe at Obvious Shirts is sending it all to Bernie's Book Bank. All right, let's go to the phones. We're talking Bears. Nathaniel's out on the Bishop Ford. Hey, Nathaniel, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are you?
How are you guys?
Well, we're good, but so I was going to talk about, I don't think the Bears are the worst 3-0 team, and I think that the farther we go into the season, the Detroit one especially is going to be a lot more appreciated, because before last week you saw the Cardinals were one of the most talked about teams, and Detroit went in there and actually just beat the Cardinals. And so I think Detroit's a lot better of a team than people think. And I think the worst 3-0 team is probably the Titans.
Well, Nathaniel, thank you for the call. Hoodie, I don't know. The Titans got to the AFC title game last year, and they've got a beast in Derrick Henry and a good defense. I'm not sure I would co-sign that it's the Titans. You think the Bears are the worst 3-0 team?
I do not, actually, and here's why. We do not look at the wins and losses trying to figure out whether or not the Bears could beat Clemson for the national championship. Did you see the Bears in the AP poll yesterday? I did not see them.
Me either.
Okay, so that's not the point of this. People always look at the schedule and start blaming teams for who they play. Well, you know, blame the Bears for playing the Giants and the Lions. Imagine if the Bears would have lost against those two teams. It was close, by the way. The Lion game was close, and so was the Giants. So I never look at the NFL that way. I know that some do when it comes to power rankings, but you're supposed to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. I mean, that's the whole thing of it. And if it's on your schedule, you're looking for W's. I think that the Bills are solid. Steelers are a good football team. Titans, Kansas City, obviously, are just really, really good. But, you know, as far as bad 3-0 teams, you know, if they're going to be the worst, I'll take it. I'll just put it that way.
So as you look at this team, are they better now with Nick Foles? And the people that are writing Mitch off, let's just remember, Nick Foles has never played a complete season in the NFL.
Right.
So I wish him great health. I hope he has an amazing run as our starting quarterback. But he's one play away from being back in the game, Mitch.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's for any quarterback in the NFL. Not just Foles. That's for any quarterback. If you sustain a devastating injury, you're knocked out of the game, this is the thing that happens. I just look at what was in the broadcast. Watching Kenny Albert, who came back to Fox, and watching Jonathan Vilma, they were talking about things that we did not see on our television, if you recall, Cap, on Sunday. Vilma said he looked at Matt Nagy and he looked frustrated, shaking his head from side to side. When we saw mistakes offensively in the first half, Vilma says, yeah, I'm looking at Nagy, he's not happy. Now, that's not necessarily something that we saw, but it's something that Vilma saw on the sidelines. And I said, boy, he must be really getting antsy here, but not to the point where I thought we'd ever see Nick Foles, you know, starting or replacing Mitch Trubisky in the middle of that game. I did not expect that.
Here is Dan Orlovsky on the change.
Nick Foles is their starter. They've wanted Nick Foles to be the starter. This was just the opportunity that presented itself. They were 2-0 not because of Mitchell Trubisky, but because of their defense and the kind of the schedule that they played. Mitchell Trubisky will never play for the Bears again because of injury to Nick Foles. There's no way that you can go back to Mitchell Trubisky. First of all, you're going to lose your football team. Second of all, Mitchell Trubisky's mental capacity or his confidence is done. Remember, last year...
They benched him last year.
Right, last year it happened, yeah. And they had to turn off the televisions. And so now, yeah. And I said this during the offseason, this would happen yesterday. He could not have an off day.
So...
You heard that crack, right?
Yeah.
The sideways crack on the TVs again.
No question.
Here we go.
No question. So that's Dan Orlovsky, who's been very supportive of Mitch over the years. Let's go to the phones. And Matt is in River North. Matt's a P1 of our show. Hey, Matt, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, here's my
my opinion.
Hey, Matt.
The Bears have definitely got a lot better by putting Nick Foles in. I mean, I think I agree with Orlovsky. I listened to Boomer Esiason yesterday. He doesn't think Mitch will be a starting quarterback ever again, except for maybe an injury. And he's done in Chicago. You can't go back to him. The players know Foles is better. I imagine they knew it all along. And I'm surprised it took this long. And you talk to fans around the city. I'm not a Bears fan, but Mitch, to me, he is despised as Cutler was, you know, as far as the fans go. And Cutler was despised because he was a jerk. Mitch is despised because of his dumb decisions and just not being very good. But, I mean, the fans are, that I know, they're ecstatic. They couldn't believe it took this long.
Appreciate the call, man. So, again, I don't know if he's as despised because Mitch is a great kid and he's beloved in that room. Nick Foles, this is his gig now. Here's the one thing. As you look at that team, do you feel like, Hoodie, that they are good enough now offensively to be able to make a run to a Super Bowl?
No, I don't think that we put Super Bowl aspirations on the Bears yet, even though that's where we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're, as Bears fans, the ultimate prize is, first of all, you get to the playoffs. Secondly, you win in the playoffs. Third, you get to the Super Bowl. Fourth is for you to win Vince Lombardi's trophy. I mean, that's the rungs on the ladder of success when you're trying to get to the mountaintop. No, I mean, I don't see Super Bowl with this team. And the reason why is because you still have issues defensively. You know, we talked about it on Friday, and we can bring it up here. I said the Bears need to stop the run. Todd Gurley looked like Todd Gurley from Georgia. But 14 carries, good for 80 yards, 144 yards on the ground, including Brian Hill. I don't know how former NBA coach is able to run for 58 yards on 9 carries, but it happened on Sunday. I don't know how the gray-haired Brian Hill was able to get that done, but he did. Without Julio Jones, there are still weapons offensively for Calvin Ridley. When the Bears need to make plays, though, in the second half, especially in that fourth quarter, they shut out Atlanta. So I can take solace in that and say, okay, at least you shut them out in the fourth quarter. However, there's still issues defensively. On the offensive side, I'm concerned about the running game. You know, I did say to you, hey, what does Tariq Cohen do, right? And then Tariq Cohen, I thought, had a decent game. He ran the football for 21 yards. He also was good in the passing game. And then he gets injured. It looks like he's going to be out for the season. Well, here's what we know. Montgomery can run the football, and they don't have a number two. I've never seen someone with so much time on the field like Cordarrelle Patterson running from side to side and doing pretty much nothing. I mean, you saw him on the TV a lot on Sunday, right?
Yep.
4 carries, 13 yards. Okay, great.
Look,
he's still not the answer.
Correct. They are going to have to figure out a way to get somebody to back up David Montgomery, who's a running back. Now, look.
Yes.
And everyone said Fournette or Adrian Peterson. They weren't coming here to just be a backup and get, you know, 4 or 5 carries a game. That just wasn't going to happen.
But a compliment. The Thunder and Lightning, they both could have ran the football well, or be in the short passing game.
And Matt would tell you that's not what we do. That's just not the way we play. And now he's got his guy under center. We're going to see how this all shakes out. The phone lines are hopping. I mean, people want to talk to Hoodie and to me. So we'd love to get your thoughts. Do you feel better about this team now that Nick Foles is what you wanted, the starting quarterback? 312-332-3776. All of your calls on Cap and J-Hood Show next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
All right. Phone lines are hopping. What are you laughing at?
Stop pounding the table, for God's sake.
Hey, man, I'm in a good mood. I got a good day ahead. Come on, man.
Tone Loke doesn't need your bongos.
Who?
Tone Loke, the one that's doing the song.
Yeah,
Wild Thang.
I know everyone thinks I don't know anything about music, and I don't know much, but what can I tell you, man?
We are who we are, right?
This is Cap trying to get the energy out while trying to stay in that chair. It's really funny watching him forget and try to stand up and then immediately sit down again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. All right, here we go. Phone lines are just on fire. People want to talk. This is your show. He's Jonathan Hood. I'm David Kaplan, and that is what we try to do, bring you a forum where you can have your opinion heard while we give you our perspective. This is not your great aunt's morning show. Yes, is that what you call it?
Your giddy aunt's morning show.
Giddy aunt.
Yeah, not your giddy aunt's morning show. We're not going to just drown you with 15 guests to tell you everything that you already know about your Chicago Bears. It's our forum, all of us together, talking about the Chicago Bears.
You got it. All right, here we go. Demetrius is in Inglewood. Hey, Demetrius, what's going on, man?
Hey, Cap J, what's going on? What you got?
How you doing, kid?
Sup, D?
I had a two-part question. I got a couple thoughts for you guys. You see all the analysts say we can't go back to Mitch because his mind state is so fragile. Like, now, if Nick Foles was happened to get hurt, how can we go back to Mitch? I say because, like you said, if he's already, his mind state is gone, and we can't go back to him, and which we'll be dumbing down our offense again. So if Nick Foles was to get hurt, I think they will actually have to get Tyler Bray a chance.
No
and one
chance.
Question I forgot to ask you guys yesterday.
No chance.
Like, since we know Mitch is not our starting quarterback anymore, is it safe to say we just wasted our trade for Khalil Mack? Because everybody knows that when you lose a quarterback, it also sets your franchise back another 4 years. What you guys think about that?
All right, thank you for the call. Hoodie, I'll give you my pick. You tell me what you think. If, God forbid, Nick Foles gets hurt, they are going back to Mitch because Tyler Bray's not very good. There's a reason he's never advanced beyond the practice squad. So I don't see any scenario where it wouldn't be Mitchell Trubisky. Now, going forward after this year, that's a different story. And I still don't think that they wasted the Khalil Mack trade because with Nick Foles in there, we're going to find out, hey, Matt, your whole playbook's open to you. Let's see how good your team is.
No, to have a difference-making defensive player like Khalil Mack on your football team is never a bad thing. I just need to know in 3 years whether or not the Raiders won that trade because they had multiple players in that deal, or do the Bears win that deal? That's my only thing. But as far as having Khalil Mack on the football team, that's a positive. And the other thing is I wish he would get to the quarterback more, but you could see when you see those tapes, that guy is double-teamed a lot, but it frees up Akeem Hicks and others defensively. So Mack on this football team is a positive for sure.
Harding is in Charlotte. He just moved there. He's a Chicago guy, though, and a big fan of our show. Hey, Harding, what's up, Sparkles?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question here, right, because we keep hearing this narrative about the defense being a bit subpar this year. And I have this theory that may have some assistance with Nick Foles being starting quarterback. So I personally think the defense may have been slow brewing the opposing offense. And what I mean by that is when you are defense and you're consistently seeing that your offense is staggering, three and outs, can't score points, and your talent on the defensive side is turning the ball over and scoring points, is there a possibility they're playing for the opportunity for a turnover as opposed to just getting off the field? Because they feel like they're going to have to go right back on the field anyways. Does that make sense? Is why the defense looks like they're being a bit worse, because a lot of it is long drives, but the points aren't that bad. But the yardage is starting to add up. So are they playing the ball as opposed to just trying to get off the field as quickly as possible and hoping the offense could start putting drives together and put points on the board? I ain't gonna listen, guys.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I you know, the Bears were more opportunistic in having that mindset when Lovie Smith was the coach of the Bears. That was the thing that was on the chalkboard. Hey, get the turnovers. Yep. Make sure that you get the ball. You know, make sure that you're able to turn the field for the offense. I don't know if that's something that Pagano and the defensive staff are talking about. Sure, I'm sure they love turnovers, but that seemed like that was like number one with a bullet under Lovie. Get the ball. Make sure that you get the peanut punch. Punch the ball out. Do whatever you can to get the ball to give it to the offense. I don't know if that is the modus operandi for Pagano and this defensive staff.
Yeah, I don't believe guys are sitting back there going, hey, man, let's gamble. Let's get out of our lanes because we have to score because this guy's not going to help us score. I think they just – everyone got a shot of adrenaline when Nick came into the game, and – he should have had five touchdown passes. He should have had five touchdown passes. And if I was coaching that team, I would say, guys, we can't be having balls ripped out of our hands. We cannot be dropping sure touchdowns. Everyone has to be just a little bit sharper, and we can be a really good football team.
I thought that the Bears would struggle defensively against the Falcons, though. I mean, before when the schedule came out, you said, okay, Bears can be able to get past the Lions, not much of a running game, but yet they got gashed. The Giant game, the Bears' defense was a little bit better, but again, it was not special. It was not perfect. But against the Falcons, even out Julio Jones' cap, I thought that they'd have a struggle. Not necessarily in run defense, but definitely in the pass defense, because, look, it's Matt Ryan on the other side. So let's see if it gets better against Indianapolis coming up on Sunday.
Back to the phones we go, and Joe is in Plainfield. Hey, Joe, what's going on in Plainfield, kid?
Cap, Hoodie. You know, I refuse to believe this was by design, but starting Foles off the bench and bringing him in like this was really smart because it fits with his career script for success of coming in as the savior.
Agreed. But now it's his team. This is not week to – if you go week to week of who the quarterback's going to be, you're screwed. And Matt has said, this is our guy. Until circumstances necessitate a change – which would be mean injury, this is who we're rolling with. And that's fine. Get it done.
I still don't think they have the skill position players to do it, but we'll see.
We're going to find out. Let's go to...
I just want to let you guys know, in 8 previous NFL seasons, Nick Foles has never started 13 games. So the likelihood of us seeing Mitch again is very high.
Yes, exactly. That's why he'll get his share of reps during practice. But let's just hope that Nick can stay healthy and play really good football. Really good.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it's got to be this season or bust. Because after this season, we might see 2 new quarterbacks on the sidelines for the Bears. I mean, that's very likely. I mean, if Mitch is not here, Foles might go someplace. Who knows? I just am hoping for the best offensively for this team. Foles has never played more than 13 games, okay, as a starter. Let's see what happens.
Aaron is in Kenosha. Hey, Aaron, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up,
brother?
So watching that game was kind of painful for me, being a Falcons fan.
Wow.
And watching the last 3 weeks, I'm actually really surprised Mitch did as poorly as he did. And also surprised that Nick Foles didn't throw like 10 touchdown passes.
But, how is Dan Quinn still in a job right now? Seriously.
Because it's the one sport, I think, where it's very, very hard to change coaches mid-season.
I agree. And it's hard to say because if you fire Dan Quinn, who are you hiring to take his spot? The offensive coordinator has been okay in Dirk Cotter and our defensive coordinator, I mean – if he can't control the defense, how's he going to run the whole team?
Yeah, Dirk Cutter, and appreciate the call. Hoodie, Dirk Cutter was not very good down at Tampa. He lost his gig. And Dirk Cutter is the same guy who called plays in the fourth quarter that lasted one drive, 29 seconds, and never required the Bears to use a timeout. To me, that was the dumbest thing I saw all day.
Falcons are lucky they're in a pandemic. Because if it wasn't, there would be a lot of empty seats there in that building. Seriously, because when you make a coaching change like that, you make sure that you are letting the fans know that the last couple of games, we're not tolerating this. And so if you just keep it in place, just understand that Dan Quinn and that coaching staff is not galvanizing that locker room. They've got to feel like they got to feel miserable. Back-to-back games where they relinquish the lead. That defense is porous as a sponge.
All right.
And I just think that if you but I guess in a pandemic with an empty building, I guess it doesn't matter. But I think that you got to find someone better here to try to salvage your season the best you can, because that's not working down there.
I got a question for you about the Falcons as it could relate to the Bears, but the question we're asking you, the listener, do you feel better about this Bears team now that Nick Foles has been named the starting quarterback going forward? 312-332-3776. All your calls with Hoodie and with me next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Love Dire Straits. That was big in college. That's it. Welcome back. Cap and J Hood Show with Danny Zetterman, J.R. Strauss, Jeff Meller, Hoodie. I'm Cap. And we're ready to rock and roll, man. Let's go back to, what are you laughing at?
Cap, better known as Casey Kasem. A little Dire Straits at America's Top 40.
There you go. Hey, when I know one, I got to yell it out because more often than not, I say the name and I'm wrong.
Yes.
Like, Limelight by Rush is playing. No, excuse me. It was Panama by Eddie Van Halen, and I'm calling it Limelight by Rush.
It was Van Halen.
Van Halen.
Come on, Cap.
Whatever. Eddie, whatever. He's part of it.
Okay, Bob Springsteen, let's go.
Wow. Back to the phones. Let's go to, you guys are amazing. Let's go to Mike. He's out on the Dan Ryan. I hope there's no horses next to him. Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? I'm trying to make my points real quick. First, to your caller, that's Atlanta Falcons fan, they need to get Eric Bieniemy. He's the perfect fit for what they want to do. So Eric Bieniemy is good for that. But
Wait. You want Eric Bieniemy for what role?
For the head coach of the Falcons next year.
Oh, head coach of the Falcons. I thought you meant the Bears. I was like, that's not happening.
No. For the Falcons next year. But my main point is that it has to do with Mitch. And I just wanted to say that, in my opinion, he was kind of doomed from the start. And he was doomed by Ryan Pace, who moved up two spots to get a lesser accomplished, lesser experienced QB, which was going to put pressure on him with each week that Watson and Holmes. So the more, you know, the better they do each week, it was going to be more pressure on a mentally kind of fragile QB and also on a GM who will forever be associated with missing out on Holmes and Watson. At least in the case of Ryan Pace, I mean, not Ryan Pace, but Ryan Leaf, at least Ryan Leaf was accomplished in college. Mitch Trubisky wasn't even accomplished in college. And my last point is that maybe a change of scenery will get him away from some of the pressure associated with Pace and the pick that he was. So that's it. I'll just hang up and listen.
So was he doomed from the start? Look, he was given every opportunity. They've tailored everything to this kid, and he lost his job. He's got no one to blame but himself. Now, was he in a tough spot last year? Yes, we've chronicled. Bad O-line, no tight end play, no second receiver, torn shoulder, all of it. But in the end, Hoodie, if you take from the day he was drafted to this very moment where he's lost his job, he has nothing to complain about.
My narrative wins. My narrative wins. My narrative I told you before the season is that, as you just mentioned, they gave him every opportunity to not only win the job over Foles, but to succeed in the job. You and I have no idea how close it was. Only based on writers and bloggers talking about what they heard and what they saw. I still, you know, Trubisky was a little bit better than Foles clearly at camp, or maybe he wasn't. Either way, I really believe that they wanted to give him the opportunity, the first shot, because they knew Foles coming off the bench would be hot, and that's what his career has been a lot of for his time in the NFL. So they gave Trubisky the opportunity. Maybe Trubisky wasn't as good as Foles, but they gave him the opportunity. It's like, okay, you take the keys. If you falter, there's a backup that's willing to take your place. That's not Chase Daniel. That's Nick Foles.
Well said. Let's go to the phones. And Willie is in Hillside. Hey, Willie, what's up, man?
Good morning, Cap. How you doing, Jay?
I'm good, man.
All good.
Hey, listen. I wanna just ask you a question, Cap and Jay. Now, when the general manager brought in the tight end Graham, mm-hmm. everybody crucified him. Said he was $9 million. But in my opinion, Cap, this man balled. And nobody ain't showing him any love. And I just want to show your love, show him some love, and get your opinion on what do you think about how the job that Jimmy Graham is doing.
Look, he's got 3 touchdowns in 3 weeks. And I know everyone said he was overpaid, he's not going to be very good. Hoodie, he gives you that ability to be like that 7-foot center down low that posts up and you just can't guard him.
Yeah, I mean, he's turning the clock back.
Thanks, Willie.
We've seen so far. Six receptions, good for 60 yards in that game against Atlanta. That's what you're looking for. You want for either Trubisky or Foles to utilize a tight end, and you got that. He got targeted 9 times. That's the second most for the Bears receiving core against Atlanta on Sunday. So, you know, hats off to him. Yeah, I'll give him love for sure, because that's what you wanted. Someone that's a weapon. Other than the receivers and the running back, you have someone in Graham right now that's playing well. And so you can't take that away from him, that's for sure.
Bears tight ends had 2 touchdown catches all of last season. Jimmy Graham already has 3. So he's already earned his money, right?
Well, we know Jimmy Graham, Danny's no Ben Broniker. I'll tell you that right now.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not married to the Golic daughter.
Right, exactly. So we at least we know he's not that, right? We just want to have him to be at New Orleans Graham, Cap, right? Not Green Bay Graham, but like what he was with the,
yeah,
with the
just,
Saints.
Just be a good, solid threat. And so far, what they said, he's going to help us in the red zone. He's done just that for both quarterbacks. So, again, just keep feeding the beast, because that guy, when he posts up on a smaller D-back, can't get around him. All right, we're going to go around the NFL. More of your calls, but we'll go around the NFL with Albert Breer of Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com, NFL Network. Albert Breer in 2 minutes.
Take that.
Take that.